Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us every Thursday at this time. Hey, Mike, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. So you're on location right now telling people that they can't go where those excavators and those big piles of sand and dirt are, right?
Well, I was, but I was taken over by a bigger professional than me. Sergeant Jamie Briarton relieved me a few minutes ago.
You can't pump him up like that. Come on. That's not healthy for him.
Well, okay. Well, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, we've got professionals on scene right now that are turning the traffic around, and this is a clean cut traffic closure. Sometimes we have closures and barrels and things in the road, and it just makes people as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. But this one is very clear. It's completely closed between Royce and Carpenter's Creek. So what we'd like you to do is take 12th Avenue North and South, take Davis Highway, and avoid it altogether. And I heard you earlier just act like 9th Avenue doesn't exist, and that's probably a pretty good idea once you get north of Fairfield.
I do want people to, if you have the time and you feel like having fun this morning, I want you to drive up to Jamie, Sergeant Briarton, and just ask him, hey, can I get through here?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee people will, and if like 50 or 100 people do it, he'll die. he'll be cursing me out all day.
We've already had one go through there this morning while I was there, just drove right through. And so we tighten the barrels up a little bit to where there's absolutely no way to get through there without hitting a barrel, and hopefully nobody does that. But
did he turn around? Did he come back? How did the exit interview go?
Yeah, once she saw the piles of dirt and the cranes or the excavators, the brakes were applied, and I saw the reverse lights come on. So yeah, I spoke to her. It was a good conversation, productive conversation, and she went on her way.
Oh my God, it's amazing. But yeah, and your assessment. I know you're not the engineer of record or anything like that, but this is a huge, like a couple of days at least. Like, don't expect to be able to use this road until you find out it's back open, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of asphalt that was damaged that has to be torn up, and the dirt underneath it repacked. And like you said, I'm no road guy, but just looking at what I saw, I don't believe, especially if it's going to rain again today, I don't believe that they're going to get done with it today. Maybe tomorrow if we're lucky.
All right.
But once they get going, they're usually pretty quick.
Yeah, but the getting going part sometimes is the issue. All right, well, very good. Very irritating, but at least if people know it's there, they can, take avoidance action ahead of time. We also had this horrible motorcycle incident that took place. Was this yesterday? Maybe where you had that whole area on Gregory closed down for hours and hours. I mean, it just had opened up in the morning, right?
Yeah, it was Tuesday.
Tuesday, thank you.
And once again, speeding on the bridge, racing on the bridge appears to be the cause of this after witnesses were interviewed. And, we've said it so many times that how dangerous that is. And in this incident, we had a motorcycle and a Mustang that kind of leapfrogging each other in a racing type fashion, coming from Gulf Breeze into Pensacola, both at a high rate of speed. But once the two of them approached Gregory Street, the Mustang backed off, and the motorcycle did not and was not able to negotiate the curve from the Bay Bridge onto Gregory Street.
Mm, wow. And the operator of the motorcycle is, do we know their health status, how bad their injuries were?
The injuries were very serious.
Okay. All right. And I know, like I was saying, that road was closed off for a long time, hours and hours closed off. It's interesting, when you were out last week and we were talking to Officer Greg Gordon about this and about, speed enforcement, it's kind of funny because I was bringing up I haven't seen a lot of enforcement lately on the bridge. And at that moment, I got like five texts from people. Oh my God, I just saw a PPD cop out there pulling somebody over.
Don't ever say that, because our traffic guys are out there all the time, and don't forget we have unmarked vehicles out there as well.
Yep.
The Bay Bridge is something that we pay a lot of attention to. So yeah, just when you don't think we're out there, we are. I promise.
You know, it. I've seen something. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to drive on Highway 87 anytime recently, but you know, something that I did not know was there, and then it is there now. It may have been there for a while, and I didn't know. They have those. You see them sometimes on highways, which is, of course, what 87 really is. It's the you know, this is your speed on a light. You know, like there's a radar gun attached to it that'll tell you the speed limit is 65. This is your speed, 70, 73, 68, whatever the case may be. And then, of course, I know you guys also have those speed enforcement trailers that have the lights that flash up whenever somebody's exceeding the speed limit. Has there been any conversation at PPD about something like that on the bridge? Maybe something permanent that FDOT would install, maybe something temporary? I'm just always looking for creative, because I get it. The bridge is designed for 70 miles an hour, but you got 35-mile-an-hour streets on either end. It's not safe. I mean, this is a problem, right?
Yeah, that's why the bridge wasn't able to go above 45 miles an hour. You have to be able to slow people down in the appropriate amount of time. And with the speed limits much lower on both ends of the bridge just simply isn't long enough to go the speed that you see on the I-10 bridge. And they're both pretty much designed the same.
Right.
So that's why. But any time before we would be able to put in anything permanent like that, that would have to go through and be approved by FDOT.
Okay. I know it's their road, not really yours, even though you patrol. I just, you know, that's what I had thought of. And I thought, you know, something like that on 3 Mile maybe would help some of the speeding, because it's just always bad, as you know. That was kind of funny. As you were explaining why the bridge is 45 miles an hour, even though it's built for 70, we had several people text in and ask that exact question. And yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but that's because of the speed limit at either end. And you got to make sure to keep people, you know, safe departing from the bridge into the either end of the local traffic. Pensacola Village, we've had two unconnected incidents in the last week there, a shooting and a stabbing. Is that right?
Yeah, we have a stabbing of a female, and we've made an arrest in that case, and we also had a shooting of a male. He was shot in the leg. We believe he was in a vehicle when that happened, and that one is still under investigation.
And so, I mean, the question we always have about these kind of cases is people cooperative, not cooperative. I guess in the stabbing case, and she survived, though, right? She was not...
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, she survived, was familiar with the person that did it. And this other one, with the two of them being in a vehicle, it may end up being the same way, with the victim being familiar. I can't say that for sure yet. But yeah, sometimes we just have people that don't cooperate, and that may not be the case here. But that's happened before, and you've heard it from all kinds of law enforcement officials that you have on weekly. Will say that it happens in all jurisdictions, and you know, sometimes folks want to handle things themselves, which is obviously the wrong way to do it, but. But we've got some great detectives that plug away until they solve these crimes, whether people cooperate or not.
Yeah, no, they definitely do. And, you know, as you mentioned, what you guys are always telling me is there's drugs and or money related criminal behavior. And then there's just, you know, people have trouble getting along with people behavior. And those are the hardest ones to, you know, work on, because it's, you never know ahead of time when it's going to happen. And it just, you know, domestic situations or friends have a fallen out, or, you know, you talk to my girl, you know, that kind of stuff. And unfortunately that happens all the
right.
time. You know, one note, actually, one note that just somebody had sent this in, and I thought you'd find this interesting, Mike, too, is on the whole, you know, the 9th Avenue closure and treat it like it's not there. It does emphasize one of Pensacola's real strengths is having a pretty robust grid, you know, that you can always go around. It's a problem that obviously Gulf Breeze doesn't have that same kind of grid. The beach doesn't have that. Milton doesn't have that same kind of grid because of the bridge over the Blackwater River. But at least when a road is out, there's alternatives, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. And I was just thinking that if this happened on Pensacola Beach, it would be just catastrophic if you just had to cut a roadway like that completely off. But we have lots of ways to get around Pensacola. The key to our problems is to get the word out, and we've done that.
Yep.
Huge thanks to the media for helping us with that, and we use social media to get the word out. And once we do that, then the traffic tends to be a little bit thinner around those areas.
Speaking of traffic notes, tomorrow night we have the Fiesta Parade, 7 o'clock. The Grand Fiesta Parade is going to roll. But you're closing down the vicinity just like we did for Mardi Gras starting at 4, right?
Yes, we are. And that includes Main Street again. And, you know, that was the first time we did it that way. And it worked much better than we expected. So there was just not that many people affected, or they listened and saw the maps and went another direction. So we're going to do that again on Friday, just to make sure everybody is aware of that. And we did not have to tow any cars off the parade route. We're hoping that we don't have to do that this time either. We want people to come downtown, have a great time at the parade. Just come early and get you a good legal parking space and have a good time.
And do not park on the parade route after 4 o'clock tomorrow, because if your car is there, it's going to be unpleasant for your car, right?
Yeah, that won't be a good idea. The car's going to disappear. We'll get it back to you, but we're going to have to take it away.
And then, you know, one thing I just want to – I've said it before when we talked after the Mardi Gras parade, but I had been anticipating utter catastrophe and gridlock with the change, with the closure of Main Street. It did not happen that way. We didn't have to tow any cars. Everybody did their part, and let's just, you know, fingers crossed, hope that same thing happens again, because, you know, that's a fantastic thing if that's how it turns out. We always like to end with a, you know, did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
I do, and it involves what are officers thinking when they get in behind you? You know, we know that people tend to get nervous, a little anxious when a marked car gets in behind them, but we want you to just try and relax. Now, unless you're doing something clearly illegal or your vehicle flags a major issue, a cop behind you is usually just another car on the road. So we want you to take a deep breath, drive safely, and the chances are that they'll go away. But I said that to have to, and now I got to say this. If your tag is missing, if your car is stolen, if your tag is expired, if you have a brake light out, or you have music so loud that it's shaking the officer's windows, that is going to get our attention, and we're going to have a conversation about that. So the myth is that we're always out there looking to pull somebody over, and that's just simply not true. Like you, we have places to be sometimes. We may be headed to a non-emergency call. We may be headed to meet someone for lunch, and we may be headed home from a deposition or a court appearance on our day off, and the last thing we want to do is look to pull somebody over. So it's not that way. It's not, you know, the officer's behind me, and I'm positive he's trying to find a reason to stop me. It's just simply not true.
You know, it's funny, but you know why, right? It's because when you see a cop on the street, you're like, oh, cops, cool. When you see a cop on the road, you're like, oh, what did I do? Because I do a lot of things. Because
right.
We know we're not good drivers, right?
Yeah, exactly. So just if you're going to be a good driver, just please do it when the officer's behind you. And there's probably less than a 1% chance that the officer's going to stop you if your equipment is right, your vehicle is right, and you're obeying the law. Don't worry about it. The chances of getting stopped are very, very slim. It does happen. Sometimes we're looking for a vehicle that's just like yours that was just involved in a crime or maybe a silver alert.
Yeah.
But that traffic stop's going to last less than 30 seconds because we know that you're not who we're looking for, and we're going to send you on your way.
Cops on the street are there to help. Cops in the cars are there to help. And most of the time, they don't really care about you in the negative sense. They're not looking for you. I just have a follow-up question. I'm kind of curious about this. I've heard stories that people who might drive too fast or might drive aggressively, that then when a cop pulls in behind them or near them or they see a cop on the road, that suddenly they become model citizens in an effort to, I don't know, camouflage themselves from the cop who might have already seen what they were doing. I'm guessing that doesn't work very well.
No, because we've already seen it. It's kind of like putting on your brakes after you've already passed the officer with the radar gun.
Right.
You know, we appreciate the effort, but we already saw what you did.
You appreciate the effort at amateur acting, but it's not very persuasive. I figure you must chuckle at that quite a bit. It must make you laugh a little bit. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks for keeping us informed, keeping us safe, and do stop by Jamie Brierton and ask him if you can drive through Carpenter's Creek, because he'll get a chuckle about that all day. Mike, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, stop and do that to him. I appreciate that.